So welcome back. We are going to continue with texts from Samara Gassatic, and we continue with text number 117. We are getting closer to the end.
Reaping unwillingly the wickedness we deliberately sow, we should marvel at God's justice.
This is interesting text, and we have to remember that, like, these texts, like from St. Mark or others, which are very short, there are like titles of reflections that saint gave, and usually those texts were written by their disciples. So they like put together like summary what was his reflection or some kind of wisdom he was trying to give. And this one is very interesting because it leads us to understanding of things which are happening in our life. And the reason why they tell us this, or Saint Mark or others tell us this thing, is that they warn us that we should abstain from whining in the time of difficulties or trials. That sometimes we complain too much when something hits us, and without justice, you know, we probably, if we see that it's like fruit of some kind of bad acting or bad words, so then we easier avoid this complaining, because we say, we admit that, okay, I did something, I deserve that. But if there is something we don't see, some kind of connection with some kind of our bad deed, or something like that, so it is difficult for us to protect ourselves from complaining, whining, these questions towards God, why did you allow to me? And so those saints, they tell us that we should always, even in these cases, when we don't see reason for our trials and difficulties, offenses, that we should receive them as a fruit of our sins. Fruit of our sins. And it doesn't mean that well, and if we start to somehow think in this way, and if something happens to us, and then we start to think, we can find a lot of sins which were not punished somehow in us, so we can see some connection between our sins and difficulties which we experience. And I would like to bring to you words of Saint Isaac Syrian, because he, in his 42nd homily, he gives us like a list of sufferings or trials which come to life of people who suffer from pride. And he says that, okay, so it is like painful, long difficulties, even diseases which are very difficult to heal. Interesting, you know, that sometimes, and when I read it today, I say, well, this is my problem with breathing and coughing and everything. I say, well, probably God wants to tell me something through this, you know. And then this one sign, or then he says, that person, proud person, experiences non-stop encounters with not godly people that which cause difficulties. They encounter with people who hurt that person. Then states of anxiety without any reason. And then he says many, like when you hit something on the, you are walking sub.
Stab your toe?
Yes, and or I would say, what is name for the person who always falls down?
And clumsy?
Yes, this clumsiness, it's sign of, it can be like sign of how God visits those who are proud. Yeah? And he says then falls from highest, and similar disasters which cause big injuries. And then in the end, heart is wrapped of insurance, or not insurance, about confidence, about God's providence. He's weak in faith. So he says that everything what is outside of the limits of these people falls upon them and upon those who live with them. And those are trials which belong to proud people. And this was something when I was reading the first time this part, and I remember I couldn't continue reading because it was quite disturbing for me to hear that. And when you start to think about it and to recall many situations in life which happened, I would say yes, you know, all those things, and I experienced a lot of the things, you know, which are written here, were things which brought me to understanding that something is like broken in me, that there is this pride in me which was conquered by the things, you know. So they experienced that in their life, because, well, like these monks, they were like led to carefully search on heart, and not only they were searching and they were asking why I was this, why, what happened in my life that this happened to me, and they always were searching this relationship between their deeds and what was happening in their lives, and they found these connections, and it was tested in the life of many ascetics, monks who lived this ascetical life. So it is confirmed through experience of many. So it's good for us to follow this. And if we start to think about these difficulties which come to our life, it might be whatever it is bodily difficulties or some kind of that things don't go as we would wish, and or even sickness, everything should point to our soul, state of our soul. Always we have to connect this and to search. And well, many times it might not be that. But for sure, exercise, it is good because we can find, always we can find something. And what leads to repentance, but sometimes, as Mark says, it leads to wonder that we are in awe how God arranges things to help us. You know, many saints, they compare these trials to that rod of father, a stick of father that, you know, he tries to improve our behavior, you know. But, yes.
It made me think that often many people, probably including myself, don't pay that much attention to their health until something drastic happens. And then they're like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
But they weren't paying attention, we weren't paying attention to all the things that led up to that. And it's the same thing when a huge offense, a huge sin comes across, and it's we weren't paying attention to the little sins. And there was a man who was a judge, and he worked for the government, you know, like it was a government agent at one time, like a treasury man or something like that. And then became a judge and went to jail. And he said, because I started lying when I was young and I got away with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did this and I got away with it. And I did this and I got away with it. And there was no consequences until I kept pushing and pushing and pushing until there were consequences. But I wasn't paying attention. And he goes around and speaks about this. He's an amazing speaker, and he was talking about how pay attention to the little things, you know.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the venial sins, because the venial sins can add up and add up and add up and lead you like a snowball to something much more serious.
Yeah. It's interesting. And, well, when we start to... Yeah, you're right. Exactly. But it's always good to pay attention to this, because we can learn through this, you know, to put it together and to make this reflection or a past, you know, that, and to ask, isn't it because I was neglecting something, or I was a bad person in some things? And not only that, we can see this God justice somehow. This is done because of justice and because of warning for us, or calling to fix our things. But so it brings us to all, but if we are really on the path and we're trying to grow in perfectness, we will see like different justice. It's not connected with that, but we can see that if we suffer some kind of difficulty caused by others, and it was without justice, and we take it with some kind of patience, or we take it as a cross or something, usually, sooner or later, we will see God's justice in this. And things turn in very interesting way. And this was, I am very sensitive to this, because my father, he was like something joking that, look, you have to behave well towards me, because I have power, like Gene Rackman has power, you know, he says. He doesn't, he lost his power.
Yeah.
You know what was his power, Gene Rackman's power?
No.
When he started to serve as an altar server, like during weekdays, because there was nobody to serve. So he said, okay, I will serve. And not on Sundays and Saturdays, no. There were enough guys. But from time to time, he served on Sunday. Always when he served on Sunday, following week, somebody died.
I remember that.
Really? It was like, like I didn't pay attention to this, you know, but after three funerals, you know, Gene told me, Father, do you notice something? I said, no. Do you know why those people die? I said, well, they were old, you know. No, I served on Sunday. And it was like, really, like three or four funerals when it was repeating. So he started to proclaim, I have special power. I said, well, you know, so I told him that we are going to use him to pay off our loan from the heating, what we have. because I said, I can tell priests that if they have troublemaker in the church, if they give us nice money, so we will send him on Sunday there.
To serve.
And to serve, and priest would show.
Please. That one over there, take it.
So my father was joking similarly, in the same way he was reminding us, me and brother, look, if somebody caused like difficulty for me and hurted me, something not nice happened to the person. And this was really, he could provide like a long list of people who really caused him pain. Without justice, it was, well, at the time it was strange time. It was after our church was renewed, and there were like a lot of tensions about people, about priests and church. It was like horrible time, and so it was easy for people sometimes. There were like division, well, whatever. But all those who somehow went very hard against him, something happened to them. I remember that there was one man who was like swearing and wishing him something very bad. The next day, his horse kicked him, so he died from that. My father told us, you have to listen to me. I have power.
Just stay away from horses.
But no, it was not very radical. I don't think so. But then, because of that, we started with my brother. We started to pay attention. Maybe they are sensitive to this. And during these years, it was so many things which. I would say that it was horrible, it was tough. And so, whatever, you know, we accepted that. Well, we were whining when we were talking together, but otherwise, we live with that. And things always turned in our favor later. You know, it's. It's scary almost. I have power. Be careful. No, but I'm sure that everybody, if we start to pay attention, so this wonder, how God works, arranging things, this wonder we will have this experience. Many times we are just don't pay attention to the things or don't connect that. And then we don't have this experience, which is good experience, which gives encouragement, faith, hope, and this understanding that, well, God has everything in His hands, so I don't need to worry too much, you know. And more I'm older, so more I am stressed about things. You know, because, well, you feel weight of this pain, but sometimes you know that God will take care of this in the right time. So it's good for us to practice that this way, in difficulties, how we react, and we can find maybe His guidance to how He wants to lead us towards healing, or we can find His providence, which or justice, which we will see in some kind of clarity. I was one of those things was that. I remember one wedding in Slovakia. I think it was second parish, and this mother of bride, she told me I liked that couple. It was very nice, very good people. But mother of bride, she told me that before wedding that she was always like trying to for this like good formation, like spiritual formation, and to bring children to God. And she said that her sisters were making fun of her, because many times she said, well, she was not participating in their activities or things. And she said that it was difficult for me because I was like target for them. They always were making fun of me that I am raising nuns, that I wanted to be a nun, so because of that I am so strict with girls and everything. And she told me that, and he said it was not pleasant for me, not pleasant. I said, and now she told me that one of her sister came to her and she said, I envy that because her children didn't go right way, you know, and was quite, there were some kind of problems. And she said it was like satisfaction at that moment. Well, it took a long time, you know, to go through this. It was not easy, not pleasant for her for many, many years. But look, this God's justice came and brought a consolation. So, and it brings you to wonder over that, you know, that over this God's providence of God acting in our lives. And I think that maybe this text is not about totally to teach us how to react in these situations. I think that this text, maybe the biggest message is there to come to this awe, to this wonder, to this experience that how God takes care, how He enters to our lives, to heal us, or to bring justice, you know, to our life, or to fix things we suffered for, without. Oh, anyway, well, that's too many. We have to speed up because.
Because an interval of time elapses between sowing and reaping, we begin to think there will be no requital.
Yeah, this is something that we all know. And I think this is not good thing what God, how God arranged this. Because God should arrange this that if we do something wrong, we would get like punch and we would learn very fast, okay? But, well, because it is not happening. And many times sin has this sweet taste in the beginning. So if we make a sin and there is no punishment immediately, we think that this is nothing. This is nothing. And this causes that then we don't try very hard to stand against temptations. No, and but well, sooner or later, there will be sobering moment I'm going to try to translate that. There's like saying of all people in my country is that God is not quick in acting, but He remembers. You know, and sooner or later, we will taste like fruit of each sin each bad deed, and or we will taste reward from each good deed. So to remember an impact of everything what we are doing is to think about that is good ascetical exercise. It's one of ascesis. And this is some kind of reason why this, when we read especially Saint Theophan the Recluse, he warns parents that then don't understand. What is that? How is this word? Oh my. That we should pay attention to each, like, passion, even the smallest, like, sign of passion in children. We should not ignore that and to take it as our duty to lead the child from this kind of activity. You know, that if we see child, for example, overeating, well, so we lead the child from that habit, or very common is lying, you know, and because they have like huge fantasy and they sometimes they make up things, and so we have to really and it's difficult because it's so cute many times, you know, that, but we should be careful and to take out those things, because there will be results of that. And like in Evergetinos, there is one story somewhere in the beginning, first book I think it was, about a man. It was Saint Gregory the Great Pope. In his writings he mentioned a story about a man everybody knew about him and his son. So he loved his son so much that he let him to be spoiled, you know, really bad. But what happened was that still the boy was small, but he was swearing, not listening, very bad language, and father was not paying attention. And then he got sick. He was about to die. And in one moment, in this process of dying, he said that, "Father, there are coming for me this boogeyman or something, you know." But he died in this. He was not able to be changed, and father couldn't help him. He died with swearing. Mm-hmm. And this Pope, he said, "Well, this story was, this happened as a warning for parents who don't pay attention to this." Those laws are really interesting. And there's another saying, I think it was in Evergetinos too, the story of a monk, and I don't remember his name. A very holy monk who reached like holiness, and he was visited by monks from monastery, but he lived alone. And when they were leaving, so he asked about one monk brother, he said, that who was not doing very well. And he said, they asked him how he's doing, and their answer was, "Your father, know him, he's the same as he was." And this holy man said only, "Oh, joy, she's just sighted." And at the moment he felt that God's grace left him, because he made judgment over the brother. And he started to do repentance, like he increased his fasting, prayers, asking God for forgiveness. I think that it was 6 months until he felt that the grace returned back to him. So when I read this, I said, well, I need like 1,000 years of repentance, you know, thousands. If he needed for one side, what this one thought came through his mind, or judging that monk, he needed 6 months to repent. Oh my, it was really, it was a scary moment, but the story describes this huge impact of sin on us. And like, look, we had this, during Great Fast, we had this Sunday of Mary of Egypt. For 40 years, she was like living her own life, sinful life. It took 40 years of repentance in the desert until she died. And I think that this years or this number, I don't know if it's exact, but well, it has some kind of message for us. That it's better for us to, if we do something, really to try to do good repentance for things we have done, because let's continue.
When you sin, blame your thought, not your action. For had your intellect not run ahead, your body would not have followed.
Okay. There's a lot of in this text. And we have to understand correctly, because it can become very good help in our spiritual warfare. St. Mark Ascetic, he points to like common reaction after we commit sin. And while we see our sin, our act, or something what happened, we can name it, and we accuse ourselves from this sin, and we make repentance. What is correct? Okay, nothing wrong with that. But what St. Mark Ascetic tells us that we should not stop here. We should go back and to search for the moment when in our mind we accepted this trap or this bite Satan gave us, offer us. Usually these saints, they talk about three steps which are before like concrete sin. At first, this first step is provocation. It is something what is offered to us as an idea. The second step is accepting this provocation, that I don't refuse it, but I stop and I start to think about that. And third step is agreement with this provocation. Provocation is not sin, because it comes from outside, and there is no man, no person who is like free of that. Provocation is not sin. It is something what comes to us, and we need to understand this, because sometimes we are confused that if we have like the thoughts which are coming, sometimes we are not sure if we committed sins through this or not. If we refuse those things, even they return back like a fly, you know, back and back and back, But we always like said, no, 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 we don't want that. There is no sin in this. Actually, in this activity, it is a reward is coming to us that we resist. And if we refuse this thought, this provocation, we are fine. But if we accept this thought and we start to somehow work and think about that, so the thought becomes part of our mind and heart. And in this case, it's very difficult, almost impossible to protect ourselves. Because this when the thought becomes like part of my mind and heart, usually it always leads to inner agreement with this thought, with this provocation. And even if this provocation, the thought, will not come to, doesn't cause act, bad deed, still it causes a huge spiritual damage for us. Christ explains it that when he says that everyone who look at a woman with lust in her heart, he already committed adultery. It's correct translation. So he points that this agreement in heart causes damage. And St. Mark, he gives us advice that we should not blame ourselves only for like this sinful deed, but we should blame ourselves for this process in mind, which comes before that, before this deed. Okay.
In Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a saying, it's not the stinking drinking, it's the stinking thinking.
Yeah.
So you can stop drinking, but if you don't change your thinking, they call it a dry drunk. You're just as bad, you have the same character defects, you're committing the same, you know, acts against your family and friends and everything. So it's the drinking is a symptom. It's the thinking that we have to fix. It's the same way with sin. If we don't fix our thinking, if we don't fix our hearts, the act itself is just a symptom of it. It's just a manifestation of it. But the rod is inside.
Yeah. And this is what they always lead us, these Holy Fathers, to concentrate on state of heart. You know, that we should be testing our heart, our these thoughts, while all time we should like make judgment over each thought they are saying. Well, it's tough process, it's hard work, but it helps us to be like very fast in recognizing what is this trap, you know, provocation. And this one thing, another thing is that spiritual reading is wonderful tool to create this sense to recognize provocations. Because who does that is more equipped for true discernment and faster than who doesn't know about those things. All right, let's 120.
Okay. The secret sinner is worse than those who do evil openly, and so he receives a worse punishment.
Yeah, it's clear, mm-hmm. You know, because and this is something what we should keep in mind. Adam and Eve, they there are like example, when they committed sin, they started to hide in front of God. And this reaction we all received through as a inheritance from them, because it is one very, very common thing that if we do something, the first reaction is to somehow cover this sin. And we call it that we are, well, Christ calls it, it's Pharisees are like this sign of this acting. And because we not only cover the sin, but we try to raise or keep this mask of piety before others. We don't want our weaknesses to be uncovered. And we lie to God through this, to our neighbors, we lie to ourselves, because many times we accept this as a truth, and it doesn't lead us to repentance, and it causes that we have this influence which leads others to what's the right name for it? To go to average life, you know, that there was one testimony, there was like one talk, and there were questions there. It was, I think, some Orthodox had some kind of meeting, something. It is on YouTube, and many years ago I was listening to this, and they were talking about new evangelization, not new, about evangelization, but not new, but how to grow. And one from attendance, he was not praised. He said that after he moved, he started to attend one parish, Orthodox parish, which was close by. And he said, I came from like very small parish, but very intensive parish. In this spiritual life was very intensive. And he said he was like on fire. And he came to this parish, where he's now, and he said, this was not thing there. It was more about traditions, like, it was like, there was no this drive for spiritual, to go deeper to spiritual life. And he said that first he was like, okay, he was sad, and he said, well, he understood that, well, different parish, but slowly he realized, after a year, I realized that I came to their level. It was very comfortable for me. And he said that his point was that it has to be this like common goal, holiness, and which should drive each parish like up. And I was listening to what he was saying. I said, well, this is so true, that our parishes should be these centers where people come to find inspiration and to be forced to grow, you know, in spirituality, to be encouraged for growth. And now if we try to mask ourselves, so it leads to lower level of spiritual life, we can cause damage to all those people who really are searching for something or trying. We can pull them down. So this is very important for each member of parish to keep this in mind, that I can, through my laziness or not willingness to grow, I can cause spiritual harm to other people. And well, it's difficult. It's not easy, but when we start to think about that, some kind of improvement for sure will come. Craig?
I heard a priest once answer a question, and I don't know if this goes along with it or not, but mentioned that the reason why Christ was so angry with the Pharisees at a certain statement, I don't remember the passage exactly, he talked about how the Pharisees gave these all the people these unbelievable burdens, and they themselves were walking around as if they were God's gift to the world. And he said what they were really more or less shaming these people as, you're not as good as us, we're so holy. And these people were trying to figure out how to get to that level of holiness, but the burdens were so heavy. And he, and it was Christ really being angry about that more than the Pharisees acting fake. He was making it make the people feel like they can't ever attain any holiness, and they were always beneath everyone else. And that's why he was so angry with them, calling them brood of vipers and everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know if that goes along with that or not, but that resonated.
Yeah, sure. And look, yesterday we had this gospel of this paralyzed man. And I was thinking about that. One thought which came was that that paralyzed man was expecting this healing from this pool when angels descended and stirred the water, you know. But when you realize that this place was relatively very close to temple, and the place of healing was this pool and not temple. Well, maybe I'm not explaining this well, but my thought was that why not in temple?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And for sure what you said, you know, that maybe this is the reason. Maybe this is the reason. And I was moving this in my thought that, well, we have to be probably very careful. Well, I ask, is our parish place of healing? It was, well, very tough question for me, because I felt like not very comfortable to answer this question. And but we should be. This is place of miracles, the church, Eucharist, and all the sacraments. And I think that, and for sure people don't see that, like, who are outside of church. If they go around through cars and everything, they are, there is a church there, but they don't have this connection that this is a place where many people were healed. I mean, now spiritually, that healed from their difficulties, and they became like holy people. They don't see us this way. More they see us like corrupted, you know. And I think this is something that we have to fix our reputation. But remind me this word before.
It's a hard thing to gauge.
What?
Now, when you talk about healing, is it a physical healing or is it a healing of the soul? As people are growing, you know, more and more to the faith and their own spiritual development, are they healing their soul? Are what they learning turning around and healing someone else? You know, by just what they've learned or what their prayer rule is like, is it affecting someone else? Are you affecting someone?
Sure.
And the only reason I bring this up, and I won't hurt about it, but we had a whole bunch of people from the outside city, investors and all these different people, and we're going through some stuff at the gym, which you might know a little bit about, but they all came down for the first time to actually witness what was going on inside the gym, and they were there for the full hour. Mind you, almost, I'd say probably 60-70% of the people that are there are Latin Rite, Roman Rite, Byzantine, or Orthodox. So you have all these, you know, people that are, you know, more or less Catholic in this environment. And the people that are witnessing are saying, I feel like I'm going to church or something. But you're not witnessing anything from church. It's the presence of the people and what they're, you know, sharing, how they're interacting with you. So one of the ladies at the end of the place, I mean, she's this big millionaire, okay? And she's standing there going, I have a come to Jesus moment. We're all looking at each other like, this is a boxing gym, you know, what are you talking about? And they went home on an emotional high from leaving the gym, all these different people. So there's five or six people all having the same experience that have never seen it. We're walking in there every day and not paying any attention to it. Now, they didn't know where they were standing way up top was a blessed crucifix. They didn't see that, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's effects that are happening just from being fed from being at this parish and other parishes.
Well, sure. I think this is how it is, you know, that this effect is here, but... Look, this is my some kind of struggle because I really, from childhood, I have some kind of romantic, like, vision of perfect parish, almost perfect church, searching for perfect bishop, you know, it's always seems like a dream for me that it is not. I would love to see a little bit experience of that. And I remember a few months ago I saw a video, and there was like ordination of new bishop, Orthodox bishop, and he was probably auxiliary bishop, something like that, or new bishop for the maybe. The older one on retirement, but this old bishop was giving him the staff. And he gave a beautiful, beautiful reflection. He said that he's asking God for forgiveness that he's giving this staff, because this staff will be his judgment. Mm-hmm. He said, because you are receiving this staff, this symbol of shepherd, you will be judged how you executed that. And it was so beautiful. And he continued, he talked like for 10 minutes, and he was talking about duties of bishop and everything. I told myself, well, if I had this bishop, I would immediately run, you know, to him, you know, to be his priest, you know, because you can feel that it's genuine, you know, it's something like authentic, and I really have this desire for that, and I think many people, they have this desire to have this perfect environment, almost, you know, it's connected with difficulties, but still, and I think that it is possible, step by step. And I think that we have huge advantages as a parish, because I don't know what is God's plan, but God sent us a lot of very good families and people who really are very serious about their spiritual life and growing. And I think that we should value that. And be careful, maybe don't cause any harm to this gathering God put together, and to encourage slowly, with little steps. We cannot make jumps, but it would be great if we just continue what we are doing, encouraging each other, trying to follow this instruction of Holy Fathers, and maybe we can together. Well, maybe we can grow, and maybe to create this, as you said, that environment when people who we will be encountering outside of the world, they will make this connection that, well, this more Jesus moment probably is connected with the parish, with the church, with the life we live here. Okay, good.
I just want to interject something, and Joanne can vouch with me on this, is that before Father Menon came, this church was slated to be closed. We had got down to very, very few people, and there was a small group of ladies that started to pray and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the power of prayer was amazing. It just, and you know, there's been growing pains along the way, but God heard people's prayers. And I think that says a lot. And I think he brought this parish to its knees because he knew there was something good here, and then helped for it to start growing again.
You could pray better. No, but you are right in one thing, that from the first moment I came, not first moment, maybe second moment, you know, because I remember that first Sunday I was here morning, so I was first in the church, and Ted Horniak came. And Saturday evening there was another Horniak here. And he introduced, I'm Horniak. I said, oh, Horniak, so you are father of that Horniak who was here yesterday. It's my stepfather. He was like upset. I said, oh, and I made like first my move, and I made angry this old man, so I studied very well. But I think that the first moments and first meetings and encountering people, I felt that this church has potential, even though difficult moments first years, but I never hesitated that this somehow God put you don't have this very often, that you can find so many people dedicated to parish, to life of parish, and trying to grow as here. So I don't know what is God's intention, but well, we should see the sign that we should add more effort, growth.
My first Sunday here, it said on the sign out front, "Welcome, Father Muran and family." And that and it threw me off. It's like, and family? Did his parents come with them or something? I wasn't used to the idea.
It was nice. All right. Thank you very much.